This morning I'm going to talk to you guys about faith. I'm going to talk to you about faith and the faith I've seen in God and the faith that I've seen God work in my life and the things that he's worked me through. And also talk to you about why sometimes we as Christians and believers lose our faith, why we let that faith diminish sometimes. Because, you know, if we're all honest with ourselves, we've all been through a lot. If we're honest with ourselves, if you lived life for any moment of time, you've been through a lot of things. God's brought you through a lot of things. I say brought you through a lot of things because you're here right in front of me. So that means he's brought you through a lot of things. I'm here right in front of you. So I know he's brought me through a lot of things. And so you've been through a lot of things. We think it's been a whole bunch or not a lot. We've all been through a lot. But God has seen us as faithful through all that stuff. So I'm going to share some things with you that's happened in my life very recently. Some things in the past. Some things in the not so distant past that have happened. It's funny. There's many examples this morning about how God's been faithful in my life and in the life of others. I'm going to share with you that were no coincidence, because there's no coincidences with the word of God. And so I'm going to start though with a passage and a story that we're all familiar with. This is about Peter walking on the water. We're going to be in Matthew. This is chapter 14. We're going to talk about Peter walking on the water. As you guys know, Peter is one of God's disciples, and Peter is also known as the rock for which God is going to build his church. God had so much faith in the disciple Peter that he named him Peter, the rock, that which I will build my church upon this foundation, the rock. And so I'm going to pick up Matthew 14, and it reads as follows, and this is verse 22. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he dismissed them, he went up on the mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted or thrown about by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. It's Jesus' reply. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why do you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Those who were in the boat worshiped God, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Now, I'm going to pray real quick, and then we're going to get into this. So, Father God, I thank you so much for letting us be here this morning. I thank you so much for your word going before us, preparing a way, Father God. Father God, for what's going to come out of my mouth, I pray that it comes straight from your heart to the hearts of those who are in attendance and those who are listening over the phone, Father. Thank you so much for your faith that you've given me and the faith that you've had and shown me in my life. Praying, Father God, that your faith will continue to be expressed and your faith will continue to go on in front of us and prepare a way for us. You know, I pray. Amen. Now, I don't want to be sacrilegious for what I'm about to do, but I want you to pay attention because this is how it helps me get through some Bible stories. So as I read this story, and I've read this story many times, I have to think about how this story went in my head. I can think about how this story would have gone down in my head. Now, obviously, this is not exactly how it went down, because this is the Virgil Savage condensed version of the Bible. So do not take this for gospel truth. But I want you to, if you would, go on a journey with me. Use your imagination like I'm about to. We're going to together try to piece together and act out this thing of Peter walking on the water, right? So you have the disciples. They're in this boat, right? And they're going across the water. That's why I have this is my prop. They're going across the water, right? And you got to think about, if you've ever been in a boat's not necessarily really stable. Now, you can, if it's no wind, no waves or anything like that, it's kind of docile. You kind of, you know, rock a little bit. Maybe like a little baby would rock in their swing. So you're okay. This is all right. We're good with this. But then the waves pick up and there's wind, right? So now the disciples, they're getting thrown all over the place, right? They're going crazy. And they're like, "Ah, help us. Please save us. We're about to drown." Now, this water splash, this is all happening, right? And as in the midst of all this craziness, you got to think about it. If you're on a boat, it's crazy. The wind's blowing. The waves are crashing. You think you're going to die. And then here comes a figure on the water, not flying, not floating, if you will, not coming across on a jet ski or on another, on a surfboard. He's literally walking upon the water. So these guys were amazed, right? They were dumbfounded. They kind of forgot about the wind and the waves for a minute. They're like, who is this? This is a ghost. This is a spirit. This is crazy. This can't be a person walking on the water, right? Now you got to remember, they've walked with Jesus. They've walked and they've seen Jesus do miracles. Never occurred to them this could be Jesus. Never once. But they see him walking on the water. And I got to think of that, you know, when Jesus is walking on the water, he's walking towards them, and he has maybe like some background music. I'm not sure. But it may sound something a little bit like this, if I can get that background music. Maybe. Yeah, turn up a little bit. Yeah, so here comes Jesus, right? It's like, yeah, here I go, yeah. He's just walking, right? The disciples are like, and they're in the boat. They're just like, yo, y'all hear that music? Y'all see that figure? This is getting weird, right? Now, remember, this is not how it happened. This is in my head. You got to get my head with me, okay? You got to get my head. So you can cut that off, right? So the music stops, and it's like, so they're like, oh. He's like, they're terrified, right? Here's Jesus. He's like, hey, chill out. Calm down. It's me. You've been walking with me all this time to see me do these miracles. It's Jesus. And now the disciples, they finally calmed down and started being so scared. They forgot about the wind and the wave, obviously. They're like, this dude just said he's Jesus? Nah, ain't no way. Here comes Simon Peter and all the rest of the disciples. Watch this, bruh. Okay, Jesus. If it's you, tell me to get out the boat and come walk down towards you. This guy. What does Jesus say? But one word. Come. So now Peter's like, okay. Come, he say. Okay. He's like, watch this, guys. I'm going to walk towards Jesus. And he gets out the boat. He's like, all right. And I'm walking towards Jesus. And he stops and he stands. And Jesus kind of doing one of these numbers like, and Peter's like, and then all of a sudden Peter looks around and he realizes he's walking on the water. He realizes where he's at. He's like, I'm walking on the water. But then when he takes his eyes off Jesus and he sees the waves crashing, he gets scared again. What happens? He begins to sink into the lake. Jesus picks him up. He grabs his hand, puts him back in the boat, and he says, why did you fear? You of little faith. And they all right there worshiped God and believed that he was truly the Son of Man. Now, all this stuff, yes, it was silly and it was goofy, but it helps me in my head. But I think to myself, how did they not realize this was Jesus? They had just walked with him, seen him do many miracles. How is your faith that diminished so fast? You just saw him do many miracles, and now you've forgotten even who he is. Because remember, it doesn't say that he looked like somebody else or he looked like something different. He looked just like himself. But they were so diminished in their faith, and they were so terrified, they were so scared about what was going on around them and about what was coming at them, that they couldn't even realize that there was Jesus who was right there in front of them. And while Jesus is right there in front of them and all their terror and their fear, he's even calming the winds and the storm, and he's making them safe. He's even rescuing them in their dirtiness. He's pulling out their dirtiness while they're in their dirtiness. He's doing all this stuff, and they can't even recognize Jesus in his face to face. And I'm like, how could they not do that? And I think to myself, wait a minute, you're not much different. You're not much different, because how can you not recognize Jesus when he's right in your face doing miracles, doing wonders, healing, and putting stuff back together for you? How could you not realize that when Jesus is right there in your face? And I was like, wow, how can I not? And it came with these three things, and we're taking notes of these three things of why sometimes our faith is diminished, that we can recognize these three things, maybe, just maybe, it'll help us make sure our faith continues to be strong, continues to grow. Number one, we forget who God is. I'm gonna say that again. We forget who God is. Oh, don't you dare, Pastor. Don't you tell me. I know my God. I know exactly who my God is. I'm not saying you don't. Here's what I'm saying. You forget who he is. You may know exactly who he is, but you forget. You done forgot, right? You get too comfortable. You get too much in your own way. You get too much into what's going on and what you want and desire. You forget who God is. I never forget one time I was texting back and forth with my father. You know, we have a great relationship. I'm in high school at the time. I'm probably a senior, so I'm either 18 or just about turn 18. Me and my dad are going back and forth, and he says something kind of jokingly to me, like a father would. And I said something back to him jokingly, but it's like what I said was kind of over the line. It was like, uh-oh, we went too far. We're not playing anymore, right? So my dad was like, don't forget who I am. Basically, I'm not one of your little friends, right? Y'all heard your parents say that before. I'm not one of your little friends, right? I got so comfortable with the conversation that I forgot who I was talking to. Obviously, I knew it was my dad. I knew it was my father, but I forgot who I was talking to. In the same way, we can't get so comfortable or so in our own way or so for our own desires. We forget who God is. This is still in the book of Matthew, chapter 16. Phone will work with me. Okay. This is chapter 16, and it's verse 13. It says this: when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, who do the people say the Son of Man is? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah, one of the prophets. But what about you? He asked, who do you say I am? Once again, it's Peter. He answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by the flesh and blood, but by the Father in heaven. Now, we got to remember who God is. He's the Messiah. He's the Son of the living God. He's the Savior. He's the Jehovah Jireh. He's Jehovah Nisi. He's the new Shalom. Whatever he is to you, remember who God is. That way it'll help our faith not to diminish. Because so many times in our lives, we'll be going through things, and there'll be a big problem. There'll be a big obstacle. There'll be a giant, if you will, a Goliath, if you will. And we'll quickly think about how big this problem is. Oh, man, I don't have enough money to make it to here. Oh, man, I don't know if we're going to have enough food to make it to here. Oh, man, I don't know if we're going to be able to do this. I don't know if we're going to be able to do that. There's no way this can happen. That's impossible. We have to stop telling God how big our problems are. We have to start telling our problems how big our God is. How big is your God? Because my God shouldn't fear my problems. My problems should fear my God. Because here's the thing. As big as the problems you have, I promise you God's bigger. I'm a standing testimony that God's bigger than the problems that you have. Last year, around this time, as you guys know, lost dad, had to pay for a funeral. Lost a toe, went through a surgery. Many things happened this time last year. And God saw me through all that. As big as those problems were, me and my wife were like, you know what? We've been through so much with our marriage, our relationship so far. This is going to be all right. This will be another thing to have a testimony about. And I'm going to tell you right now, it was another thing to have a testimony about. Because losing my dad was hard. Probably the toughest thing I ever had to do in my life was preach his funeral. But I'm here to tell you, out of his funeral came some rebonding of family. So reconnecting with family. There are family that came back to church because they came to my dad's funeral. There are family members that had questions about God, about salvation because of my dad's funeral. Stuff that would never have happened had he not passed away. Now, obviously, I would love to have my father back here. I'd love for him to be right in front of us and you guys can meet him. But with that testimony came, with his death came a big testimony. And I praise God for that, as hard as it was. Losing a toe was hard. It was, believe it or not, more emotionally hard than physically hard. Just the thought of, man, like this is a big deal. This is scary. What's going to happen next? What's going to happen after this? Am I ever going to recover? Am I going to even be able to walk again? Am I going to be able to do this and that? God saw me through it. Here to tell you right now, I feel like I've never walked better than without that toe. I feel like I haven't felt better since getting that off because of what it was doing to my body. It's a praise. It's an honor. To be able to do these things for God. And here a year later, I'm telling you now, after all that stuff and what's come about of, like, you know, eating healthier and getting more in shape and working out. Me and my wife are doing this weight loss challenge right now. I'm not on insulin right now. And I praise God for that. I'm not into right now. Thank you. And I'll tell you this, Brother David, I took a page out of your book. The doctor does not know I'm not on insulin right now. But one morning, I woke up, I was feeling really, really good. You know, we've been doing this weight loss challenge and been eating right and eating well. And I was like, you know what? I think I'm going to not take insulin for today and see how I feel. Because I've been feeling so good, so much so that it was like my blood sugar was getting on the low side, where it was almost going too low. So I'm not going to take this insulin today. I was going to monitor the blood sugar for a little bit. And so I've been off of it now for 2 weeks, and my blood sugar is not red high once. And I've just been, I still on metformin, but I'm praising God, and I'm going to see God's promise through that I won't be on it by this time next year because of what God's been able to do in my life. I say all that, say this, sometimes with faith, you have to take that leap like Peter. Now I'm not telling you to stop taking your medicine. Do not do that. Okay. This is not me advocating for throw those pills away. You don't need them. I'm not saying that, but I am saying that when God speaks to you and the Holy Spirit moves, you move with it. Cause it was not my mind or my brain that said, you don't need that insulin anymore. Cause I thought I was going to be on the rest of my life, to be honest with you. In all honesty, I thought rest of my life, I was going to be on insulin, right? But praise God, the Holy Spirit spoke and said, hey, you don't need that. So I stopped taking it, and like I said, blood sugars have been normal since then. I look forward to my next A1C to see where I'm at. So then my doctor says, hey, you can stop taking that insulin. I'm going to say, hey, I stopped doing that about a month ago. So, yeah, praise God, right? All I have to say is stop telling your problem how big your God – stop telling your God how big your problem is. Tell your problems how big your God is. Because when we tell our problems how big our God is, we're not leaning on our own understanding. Because I didn't understand how my problems were going to get solved. I had no idea, but God knew. God knew way before I did, right? I had no idea how I was going to get through a surgery, how we're going to pay for my dad's funeral, how I was going to even end up here in front of you at New Joy Fellowship, where my next job was going to come from before I worked for John 3:16. I had no idea about any of that stuff, but God knew. Going back in Matthew chapter 14, it's a little earlier in the chapter. This is where Jesus feeds the 5,000. It says this, verse 12. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of the crowds, followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them, and he healed their sick. Now remember, he's healing their sick. They've seen him do miracles again. Sick are getting healed. Wild. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, this is a remote place. And it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves food. Jesus replied, hey, don't send them anywhere. He didn't say that. This is me condensing again. He said, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. Talking to the disciples, you give them something to eat. We have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. Bring them here to me, he said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking 5 loaves and 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up to 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, beside women and children. Now, once again, this is God doing something beyond our understanding. He saw the people. He had compassion on them, began to heal their sick, doing wonders, doing miracles. And it comes to the thing where they're like, okay, we got to send these people away. I mean, this is awesome that God's doing all this stuff. It's awesome that we're worshiping and that we're basically having one big revival. It's like, it's awesome about this big old revival, but like, if we're going to be able to eat, we're going to have to go. So we're going to have to leave and so we can go buy food to eat. They're like, okay, we'll send the people away so they can go buy stuff to eat. And Jesus is like, oh, Jesus said, wait a minute. We're worshiping. We're praising. We're having revival. Where y'all going? He said, well, we got to send these people away, God. If we don't send these people away, they're not going to be able to eat. Okay, well, give them something to eat then. Don't send them away. Give them something to eat. And the reply was, all we have are 5 loaves and 2 fish. Now, I'm a new parent. We have some foster kids in our home. You've seen them running around here. I'm a new parent, and so I've never quite gotten this phrase yet until I became a parent. And a parent will ask you to do something, and you'll rebuttal with some kind of question, and with their response. What did I just say? Jesus basically was like, what did I just tell you? I don't care how many loaves you have or how many fish you have. What did I just say? I said to go feed them. That's what I told you to do. Don't ask me no questions. Don't give me no lip. Just do what I asked you to do. Right? That's what God was saying right here. And so many times in our lives, that's what God wants to say to us. I want you to go to Tulsa, and I want you to go there with no place to live and no job and a car that barely runs, and I want you to go do that. That's what he told me almost 3 years ago now. And I was like, huh? What? You want me to go to a place I've never lived with no job, with no place to live, and a car that barely runs? That's what you're telling me, God. This car I spent $200 on, had to put a new battery in already. So $250 at this point. That's what you want me to do. You're telling me, you know? And God's like, what did I just say? Okay, fine. I'm moving. When I move, praise God, the foreigners opened their house up to me, had a place to live. I had a conversation with my now mother-in-law, Miss Manita, in the living room. And through that conversation, just sharing our hearts, I was talking about, and you guys heard the story before, I was talking about, you know, this job that was on Indeed at John 3:16. I was like, yeah, you know, I'd love to have that job, a youth pastor job. It sounds like a good thing, but like, I feel like I'm tied down at New Joy. God wants me to be at New Joy, and I want to, you know, serve and minister at New Joy. She goes, oh, no, this is a different kind of youth pastor job. This is like a 5-day-a-week type thing. It's like a Monday through Friday. I was like, oh, well, I'm going to go check that out then. God had a job lined up. And I tell you, this car that I spent $250 on, it lasted an entire year before I had to get buy a new one. And when I had to buy a new one, it just so happened that the first time ever in history, John 3:16 gave out a big bonus to the employees because of COVID. And I used that money to buy a new car. Wow. God said, what did I tell you to do? I got this, right? I got this. I got a video I want to show you guys. This is a video with the Karate Kid. And I'm a huge Karate Kid fan, and I enjoy the old Karate Kid, and especially the new series Cobra Kai. And what was going on is continually and over and monotonously, Mr. Han was asking Sean Dre to pick his jacket up and hang it up and take it back off and put it back down. He could do this over and over and over again. Now, he's supposed to be teaching Sean Dre Kung Fu. And that's why he goes to Mr. Han. You'll see if you've ever seen that movie, earlier in the scenes, his mom's always yelling at him to pick up his jacket. She always tells him to pick it up, you know what I'm saying, because he leaves it on the ground at the house. Now, Mr. Han's having to do this over and over and over again. He thinks, Sean Dre thinks, that he's doing this to punish him, to make sure he's respecting his mom. He says, I get it. I'll respect my mom. I'll keep my jacket off the floor. And Mr. Han doesn't even give him an explanation, does he? He says, pick your jacket up, hang it up, put it down. Pick your jacket up, hang it up, put it down. Just like Sean Dre, we can't see past picking up a jacket, hanging it up, and putting it down. We can't see past that, right? He couldn't see past that. He couldn't see what Mr. Han was actually doing. He was teaching him Kung Fu. And when he finally saw that all the pieces come together, all of a sudden, he knew Kung Fu. We can't always see the plan that God has, but God's got a plan. You don't see the very end of it. I didn't see the end of that plan with my car, my job, and a place to live. I couldn't see that, right? But God's got a plan, and he always will have a plan. Now, part of that plan for God having me move was this. I got married in the process to Tori. I got married in the process to Tori right here in this very church, actually. We got married. And it's funny that a couple of our friends are here this morning, because right here in this very church is also where their journey started. You know, me and Tori got married. I, of course, on this side, she on that side. As we met our lives one, she had a friend, a bridesmaid, walking down the aisle, and I had a friend, a groomsman, walking down the aisle. They happened to walk down the aisle together. And now I'm telling you, on Saturday, they're actually getting married after walking down the aisle together as groomsmen and bridesmaid, now walking down the aisle as husband and wife. Not getting married here, that would have been a perfect end of that story. I should have done that, honestly. That would have been perfect. But they're getting married this weekend, and Tori and I are going to be able to stand next to them now as they start their journey, join their lives together. They had no idea that day that they'd be walking down the aisle with their future husband, future wife. Just like I had no idea on my journey that I was going to be ending up here with my future wife doing what I love and in front of you here today. All because I had no understanding of God's plan. So all I have to say is, what God says, just do it. It's simple. Like Nike said, just do it. Just do it. If he says to go and start a ministry with $5.02, guess what? You start that ministry, $5.02, and God's going to bless, and it's going to become a huge ministry, right? Because I tell you right now, John 3:16, where I work, started on a hope and a prayer. They had no money. They started on a hope and a prayer 30 years ago. And now, where I work at, we're doing things out of this world for the ministry for God because of hope and prayer and people that were faithful to God's plan. New Joy Fellowship, from what I've seen, has grown, and I've seen it grow because of hope and prayer. People working hard to love those in the community and show them the love of Jesus Christ. I've seen us grow because of what God has done here, because we've allowed him to be in this place on a hope and a prayer. So lean not on your understanding. I'm pretty sure it's in the Bible somewhere, right? Somewhere, right? Proverbs around chapter 3 or something like that. I think verse 5 or 6. Lean not on your understanding, something like that, right? I think it's in there. I'm pretty sure. But lean not on your own understanding, right? Because our feeble minds, as smart as you think you are, and some of y'all think y'all might be Einstein, you're still not smarter than God. And you don't have a better understanding of your life and your plan than God does. This last thing, and I'll be finished. Last thing. So number one, we forget who God is. It diminishes our faith. Number two, we begin to lean on our own understanding, and we forget diminishes our faith. And last thing, we take our eyes off of God, and that will diminish your faith faster than anything else. At the end of that story of Peter walking on the water, he was walking on the water because of his faith in God. His eyes were on God, and he was good. But the moment he took his eyes off, the moment he got distracted by what was going on outside, what happened? He began to sink, and God had to swoop him out the water. Now, praise God, we have a God who's merciful and is gracious that will pull us out the water in our mess, whenever we're in our mess. But man, how much better would it be if we could stay up out of our own mess? How much better could we serve God if we could stay out of our own way by keeping our eyes upon him? I've been in some messy situations, and I honestly say they were my fault. Been in some messy situations because I took my eyes off God, and it was my fault. It had nothing to do with, oh, well, the universe is out to get me, or I just had bad luck. No, it's because I wasn't following God, and I was being disobedient. That's exactly what it was. My eyes went on God, I was disobedient, and I had to suffer and be punished for it. Now, praise God, he's merciful and grace and gracious and just, and he will rectify and redeem you from all those things. But if you get into the mess, he's got to pull you out of it and clean you up. And sometimes it takes a while to get you cleaned up because we want to continue to be in our mess. Like swine, we want to go back to the filth after we've been cleaned up. Or like a dog that returns to its vomit, we want to go back to that. God says not to do that. Why do you want to go back to your own vomit, be back in your own filth after I've cleaned you up? Because you take your eyes off of me. Keep your eyes on God. If you want to stay on that path, stay on that righteous path, you want to continue to walk upon that water like Peter, keep your eyes on God. It's a psalm. It's Psalm 46. Actually, it says this. We're going to start in verse 10. It says this. He says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." We just said that. I will exalt thee. He's going to be. Whether you exalt him or not, he's going to be exalted. So if you want to be part of that exalting, praise God. If not, once again, the rock cry out, even if you won't. Now, there's other parts of that psalm says, even if the mountains should crumble into the sea and the waves should crash, I'm still going to follow God, basically. And there's a song that goes along with it, too. Now, our job in this world, oh, goodness, we better hurry up. Our job in this world is to keep our eyes on God, no matter what. No matter what. Had I not kept my eyes on God and followed his plan, if I was like, well, God, this car won't last, and I don't have a job, and I don't have anywhere to live, I'm not going to move, I wouldn't be married to Tori. I wouldn't have the job that I have. I wouldn't be here in front of you guys to be able to praise and do this. Ryan and Jordan wouldn't be getting married. No, I was kidding. You know, the things that lined up because of obedience might not have happened, and that would have been a terrible thing. I honestly could tell you I would be upset and unhappy if my life had turned out any differently. Though I had to go through the things I had to go through to get here, I wouldn't have had it any other way because I learned so much from it. In the same way, my prayer to you and my plea to you is to follow God's plan, even if it hurts. Even if it hurts, do not take your eyes off God's plan for you. You may have to go through some rough times, some times of struggle, some times of hurt, and some times of heartache. But guess what? At the end of that tunnel, there's a light, and that light is God. He's telling you every step of the way, just like Peter, come, come, come. No matter what, you have to go through the waves, you have to go through the mountains crumbling, just come. Now, one last clip for you guys. This is the last clip that I want to, give you an example of somebody who has so much confidence in those things are crashing down around them, but they're still going to accomplish the mission that they have to accomplish. Iron Man, he goes in, surrounded by the enemy, bullets flying, explosions going off. He doesn't waver at all. Doesn't even step to the side. He takes on the bullets full force. Even gets hit by that tank missile, gets knocked down, gets right back up, turns around, kind of takes care of that tank and walks away. But he doesn't get rattled by the explosions or anything. He just has a mission to do, and he does it. Now, Iron Man does this because he got his full suit of armor, got his technology that basically works for him, right? It shoots for him, and it tracks all these and targets all these people for him. You have the same thing. The armor of God is upon you. The armor of the Lord is upon you. The Holy Spirit fights the battle for you. Armor of God is your suit of armor like Iron Man. That Holy Spirit is just like Jarvis in this clip, targeting the enemy, fighting the battle for you, if you allow him to. Just like that. So with the full armor of God and the Holy Spirit, go into the battle. Face first. Psalm 23 said it. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. So I don't have any fear. I'm not afraid. I have the armor of God and the Holy Spirit with me. I'm not afraid. That's the faith I have in God. I'm going to be okay. Even if I should leave this earth and I lose my life, for me to live as Christ and die is gain. So I'm not afraid. So my question to you is that where your faith is at? Is your faith of that where you're walking in the water like Peter? You're going into a table preparing you before your enemies? Bullets flying, explosions happening? Are you wearing the full armor of God with the Holy Spirit fighting the fight for you? Are you there? We're at a place of, well, I mean, I want to follow God, but not sure quite yet. I want to go do this thing that God told me to do, but I have to make sure this is right first, and this is okay first, and this is in place. Once again, learn from my mistakes. Just do it. I told Nana that there was a verse I had for this, and it's in Matthew chapter 11. It says this is, and God's reply to them whenever they're asking the question is this: have faith. If I had to title this message, it'd be have faith, period. Period. No ifs, ands, or buts. Have faith. Not have faith because, just have faith, period. That's all you need to do. Have faith. Allow God to work through you and move through you, and you'll be able to do some awesome things. I've done awesome things in my life by no ability of my own, but strictly because of the Holy Spirit and following God's plan for my life. You can do the exact same thing if you allow God to work through you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for allowing us to be here this morning. I thank you for the faith that you've given me, Father God, just in you and your promises. I thank you, Father God, for the faith that you had in me in my life, and you've been faithful to me. Father God, you've seen me through some tough times, some hard times. You've seen me through some tough things, Father. But praise God, you've seen me through those things. I'll come out the other side, able to worship you and praise you even more for it. Father God, thank you for the love and the mercy and grace you have for every person in this room. There's a person in this room right now whose faith has been wavered, has been shaken, has been stirred a little bit, Father God, that you would help them to renew their faith in you. Father God, help us just to remember who you are. Help us remember that you are the Messiah, that you are our provider, Father God, that you go before us to prepare a way and to fight our fights for us. Father God, anybody in this room who is hurting with sickness or disease, of loss, Father God, who's in need of financial help, Father God, who just needs to be restored mentally or physically or spiritually, Father God, you just be with them. Let this prayer be a step of faith, saying that you're going to heal, you're going to provide, you're going to fix and repair through your Holy Spirit. As we get ready to take the elements and hear from you, Father God, we're just praying that you would just help us remember what your body means broken for us, what the blood means poured out for us. In your name I pray. Amen.